Once again, it is our pleasure to be here with the congregation at Longwood, and we just thank you for all of the wonderful fellowship, for the meal which took us into waddle mode, and all of the things that have been done. We just appreciate the hospitality. We appreciate so much the support for the preaching of the gospel, and we just thank the congregation so much for that. This evening we want to, or this afternoon we want to conclude with one of our other responsibilities that can easily fall by the wayside. And it's a responsibility that Jesus spoke of with great, great passion as he gave the Sermon on the Mount. You'll remember in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 that Sermon on the Mount was presented to the multitudes. And Jesus would speak to them in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, and he would simply tell them that there was a way to enter into the kingdom of God. He would start off by saying, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it." We want to talk with you for a few moments this afternoon about where billions miss the way. Folks, souls are dying every day. And our purpose, our reason for existence, is to help every soul we can reach life eternal. That means helping one another as members of the church get to heaven. But it also means that we learn to love others that may not have learned the gospel so that they can find out the ways to get to heaven, so that we can show them the very love and commitment and desire that we have, that no one be lost, just as someone did for us one day in our lives. Before we go any further, we want to take advantage of the privilege of prayer, and then we'll study that with y'all this afternoon. This afternoon, as we approach the lesson that is given, we understand Jesus took a very serious position in Matthew chapter 7, in talking to the multitudes. There were a lot of people gathered together there that were able to be called God's children by their heritage. And yet Jesus would talk about this issue in Matthew 7 as a gate issue. A gate issue which there are only two gates involved. And he would say, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And that's so true to even the children of God at that time, because many of them had been a part of disobedience and not obedience. Many of them had looked for the Messiah, and yet when the Messiah came, his own received him not. And so when we talk about this picture that the Word of God gives us about the concern with humanity and our propensity, if you will, to be able to choose the wrong thing to do, sometimes even at the right time, Jesus would call it out as a gate issue. And so the thing that we see and the thing that becomes very clear to us in looking at the Scriptures is the fact that there is a large, large part of our world today that says we're all going to the same place. We all want to get to heaven. But folks, many miss the way that Jesus has given. As a matter of fact, in that seventh chapter, he would not only go on in verse 14 and say, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, but few there be that find it." If you really think about Jesus' day and time and the people in that day and time, their Bible was the Old Testament. So when you called to mind an instance of where few would find the way, they could see the account of Genesis 6, where Noah, that wherein eight souls were saved by water, to quote Brother Peter. Of a whole world, eight souls were saved. Folks, let me give that some perspective. Of a whole world, only the family of Noah was saved, and their in-laws there, that were of his family. When Jesus says few, he means few. We look to the example of Abraham and his nephew Lot, and we see Lot pitched his tent in Sodom. And the Bible says when God looked at the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he caused it to rain fire and brimstone from heaven to destroy the city, few escaped alive. Lot and his daughters. When God says few, he means few. We face a world today that is somehow dominated by the things that led to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the old world. And when God, through the voice of Christ, says there's two gates, and the straight gate is to be entered by few, and will be entered by few, folks, there'll be billions of people that are going the wrong gate and feel like it feels so right because they're doing things for the Lord. Now, when we talk about being religious, most people accept the religious principles that we have on the slide. They accept that God is the Creator, Genesis 1 and 1. Most of them do, or a lot of them. People generally accept the Bible account of the flood. People generally understand that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, just as the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. They understand that not only the Bible, but history and even the culture, if you were to travel from here to Jerusalem, you could see the evidences of the fact that Christ walked and lived in Israel. And some have some degree of faith in God. So many times in our world today, faith in God is kind of invoked by some natural tragedy or by some personal hardship or tragedy. But yet, so many times, people who haven't thought about God even existing will cry out and say, "Oh God, don't help me with this." And that shows, quote, in their mind, the religious fervor that acknowledges God. that gets God back on their side. But the sad, honest truth is this. They fail to see the necessity of doing God's will. God is such a wonderful, merciful, and just God that throughout His plan from the beginning of time, He has always required all humankind to hear, believe, and obey. And that presents to us the question, how can billions miss the way if that's all God has asked from us, is to hear, believe, and obey? Well, people don't see the necessity of serving God because we don't do well what we don't know. And when studying our Bibles has become such a low priority that we can't tell people what they need to do to be saved, that has a massive impact on what people will obey and what they won't. I'm going to give you just a few examples of those kinds of things that make a difference. And you could probably think of them in your life also. We sometimes, as being the stewards of the Word of God, of the precious gospel, we recognize in Romans chapter 1, 16 and verse 17 that we're not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, the next verse says, from faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If we live by faith, that means we're living by what the Scriptures give us as the guidance. And folks, that means the gospel is precious. And we have to talk to people about the gospel of Christ, or they will lose their souls. I remember a situation that actually was an experience with me where I had a relative that cared enough about my soul to mention about the Bible, about the church, about the gate that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7, verse 13. And you know, when I heard that, the next thing that happened is the relative, mysteriously, when I went over to the house to visit them, had an individual there named Brother Roberson. And he was the evangelist in Richmond, Indiana at the time. And he asked me a question. I was a part of the Baptist organization and I sang in the choir and I really enjoyed being, at that time, 19 years old and able to participate in worshiping God. Well, the moral of the story is, he asked me the question. He said, oh, do you go to church? And I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I sing in the choir. And he smiled with such a big smile. He was a kind man, a welcoming man, but Brother Robeson knew his Bible, folks. He just looked at me. I was getting ready to go down to college, to Indiana University. And he said, well, can you do me a favor? I said, sure. Can you find where they had a choir in the church in the Bible? And I said, yeah, I'll be glad to. And I went back down to IU and I sat in my dorm room and I ripped all the pages out of the Bible trying to find that. So the next week, I did what any honorable person would do when I came home and I went by that relative's house. Guess who was there? Brother Roberson. But I was upstairs. And I never came down the whole time he was there, because I knew I couldn't find that in the Bible. But you know what? My relatives love me enough to tell me, Art, there's only two gates. There's only two gates. Which one are you going in with what you're doing now? You know, it seems like such a simple statement that they made. But I began to study the Bible with them. And it's the statement that set me on the course of being able to obey the gospel. Folks, we all have contacts. We all have those kind of connections with people that we know need the gospel. And if we don't give it to them, there'll be billions of folks that'll miss the way because we wouldn't speak a word as the Bible instructs. So many times, as we just mentioned, James chapter 2, verse 24 tells us that there are people who have been deceived by false doctrines. And I understand that. Satan is the counterfeiter of all time. He makes counterfeit everything. Counterfeit truth, counterfeit religious organizations, counterfeit friends, counterfeit family. He provides everything counterfeit he can. So it looks like those are great things and going to help us. Just like he did in the garden with Eve and Adam. Just like he did with the old prophet and the young prophet in the Old Testament, where God told the young prophet not to stop, not to go into the house. And the old prophet said, I'm a prophet too. Come, eat with me. And he was killed as a result of doing it. Folks, the souls of billions of people are dependent on people in the church to tell them, to help them, to guide them with the Word of God to the salvation that Christ has died for. Now, there's many religious beliefs. There's many rules. There's many statements where people talk about go to the church of your choice. And you know, it may only take just a moment and a few words from us to get them to rethink that thing. Let me give you an example of that. People that will say that we should go to the church of our choice, if you ask them about do they believe the account of Noah and the ark, they'll say yes, of course. And if you ask them, well, do you think all those other people could have just went to the ark of their choice? No. Because God said the ark he built was the one that would float. There are so many parallels between the ark and the church. That's a whole nother lesson. I won't get into that now. Let me move on very carefully. The examples that we see in real life highlight the fact that Christ is the only true way. But knowing that, we know it's not going to change. The truth never changes. And so we could tell people with confidence what they must do in order to obey the gospel and not to deceive their own souls or to oppose their own selves. The question is, what are we doing? What are we saying? It's very interesting. I run into situations all the time where people are very talkative in a number of different fields of life and existence. But on a day like the Lord's Day, they just can't seem to speak a word about the Lord. And folks, that defines our character over a period of time. If we get used to not talking about the Lord, we won't talk about Him that often. And we all are that way. The way we say that is, we get good at what we practice, folks. We all do. We practice many things in our lifetime. And Christ died so that we could practice following and telling others about the Word of God. When we look and we acknowledge that Christ is the only true way, we hear people say, these are modern times. That's the old way of doing things. Things have changed. We need a new modern way to worship God. And then, of course, the old favorite that I've heard a million times. I really don't think it matters. Folks, it mattered to Jesus so much that He died for it. It mattered to God so much that He would have to separate or turn His back on His Son who was crucified in that horrible death on the cross. It mattered so much that the early church would jump in front of one another when thrown in the lion's den. It mattered so much that in Hebrews chapter 11, in Faith Hall of Fame, people were sawn asunder. They were boiled in oil. It mattered, folks. And it's got to matter to us. Or else billions will miss the way. We serve a God who is so far above humanity's mind and mindset. We see in 2000 B.C., God tried to tell humanity, the earth is a circle, it's hung on nothing. But you know the humans, you know how we do. Copernicus discovered in 1543 A.D. that the earth is hung on nothing. 3,500 years later, boy, we're good, aren't we? We're really good. In 875 B.C., Isaiah would write in Isaiah 40:22 that the God setteth upon the circle of the earth. And yet, we were so fortunate as humans, we could get Christopher Columbus to sail and to see if the earth was flat. Only if we didn't believe Isaiah. 2,300 years later, he did that. 2,000 years before Christ came, Job conveyed about light being in motion. And Sir Isaac Newton, 1600 A.D., would discover light is in motion. It moves. Time, space, and matter all had a beginning. According to the Bible, according to God. And you know, that's what Einstein discovered in 1916. Folks, my point is this. We have truth that doesn't change. When God says the earth is a circle, it's a circle. When God says light is in motion, that whatever it is, 186,000 miles a second it goes at, it's going to be true. It's moving. And that's the whole point. We have the truth of God that could keep billions from missing the way. Let me just mention a couple other examples. You know, in Glendale, what we do is we try to do different community activities where we go out in the community and try to meet people, invite them to Bible studies and things like that. And you know, that can be frustrating, I have to admit. We did that for about 3 years in a row, and nobody came, nobody showed up and everything. And one of the people that we baptized when we first started the congregation was an individual, we call him, his name is Larry. And he's a guy that used to pitch for a team called the Los Angeles Dodgers at the same time when Oral Hershiser, one of their great pitchers, was pitching. He was one of the other pitchers there. But he had to make a choice. Was baseball more important to him than the gospel? And he made the choice to be baptized. And so we were getting ready to go out and pass out flyers in the neighborhood in a subdivision and invite people to church. And he said, you know, Art, he said, this idea of going out, it just never seems to bring about any good results or anything. He said, people are nice, but they just don't want to hear anything about the Bible. And I said, well, maybe you're right. Let's do it and let's see. And we went out and we passed out flyers and we started our gospel meeting. And lo and behold, five people came. Five people. Five souls. Let me say that differently. Five souls came. There was a lady that I started to talk to on the phone, and we had phone Bible studies. That individual, of all the ones that I expected not to really produce much, because, you know, at first it's kind of hard to get used to studying on the phone with people. But we got so much technology now. People talk about Skyping and FaceTiming and all of these things where you can look at the person and talk to them if you want to. We can do that. We can tell people the Bible. That's allowed for us to tell people about the Bible over the phone. But, you know, we forget all of these options. And yet we use those tools for every other thing. If it was a $200 million deal that I was working on, I'd pick up the phone and call somebody. I wouldn't just wait on them to come to my office and say, well, maybe we need to think about this. Because I didn't want anything to go wrong with it. I didn't want them to get confused about what I expected of them or what they expected of me. And with something far more precious than $200 million, the souls of people, I had to pick up the phone and talk to that lady. We baptized that lady about 6 months ago. She's been to every Bible study. We have Bible studies. We have services 10:30 and 2:30, and then we have Bible studies on Wednesday night and on Friday night. She obeyed the gospel. She's serious about her soul. I'll tell you one last situation. My time in Shreveport, Louisiana. When I moved down to Shreveport, Louisiana, I met an individual down there. I walked in to work. I had been hired to run the accounting department for Shreveport, Louisiana. And I walked into work. My prayer was, is, Lord, if nothing else is right in Shreveport, Louisiana, let the church be. And I met some folks at the church. Y'all know part of them, Wayne Fussell and a number of the people there. And I walked into work the first day, and as I'm walking to my office, there's an individual sitting at a desk that I walk right by, and he's got his Bible on the desk. That individual was a Methodist minister over three or four congregations. And I said, oh, I see you got your Bible. You like to study the Bible? I said, I really enjoy that. And he said, oh yeah, I'm a preacher. I preach for the Methodist organization and all these things. Folks, that individual not only obeyed the gospel, but he and all his household, six other families obeyed the gospel. he preached the gospel truth about worship to the Methodist organizations. We went down there with him and talked to the individuals there about the truth. So many times, just speaking a word for God allows God to take over. Because, see, the God we serve knows what's going on earth. He's in control of all of that. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 17, he says he's determined the habitation of the nations. That means he helps Art get to Shreveport first and then go to Arizona. He knows these things because he's all-knowing. And when we realize we serve an all-knowing God, how can we go wrong telling billions of folks, don't miss the gate, don't miss the way. There is a God that will help you all the days of your life if you hear, believe, and obey. I hope that will encourage us to take advantage of all of the avenues we have to teach the gospel to the lost. Folks, we have a very sobering responsibility. We have to help the wounded. You know, when I was living in sin, I was wounded. I was looking for a better way and couldn't find it. Didn't have any idea where it was. Until somebody told me the gospel. And most of the people we come in contact with at work or wherever, they're going through pain and they're looking for the opportunity to ask somebody who they think knows an answer. Of the 12 people we baptized the first year we started the congregation, most of them were contacts that I made from work, where people were going through hardships, they were going through difficulties, and they said, well, what can I do? How can I get this situation better? And the answer is always, get on the Lord's side. Get on the Lord's side, and you'll do better. And that's the truth, folks. The lesson is yours. Let's help everyone we can. Every soul we come in contact with, if we can talk to them about the weather, we can talk to them about who makes the weather. There's one brother that obeyed the gospel back when I did, and it used to always amaze me. Somebody would say, oh, it's a beautiful day. Look how bright the sun's shining and everything. And he'd say, yeah, thank the Lord. God just does things so great. And that would start so many conversations with people about the Bible. The lesson is yours. If you've never obeyed the gospel, don't put it off. If you need to make things right with God, don't put it off. Don't be one of the billions. Don't miss the way. May we always hear, believe, and obey God's will and live faithfully after Him, even as the Scriptures instruct. We don't know the minds of those that are here. If there be any of either group, we ask you to please come while we stand and while we sing the song selected.